He actually was really stoked.
I talked to him off air. I was so burned out now.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
I'm so used to being like you being on the phone. I pressed the phone button there, David. David Slack is in the studio with us. Good morning.
Good morning. I can still remember what the number for 2ZA in Palmerston North was in 1973. 73197. And you had to do it the old rotary way, so you'd hold your finger on the 7 and let it go when the moment came.
It's funny you have to say, and then let it go. So just not do anything. Wait, what about, did you used to tap the phones?
Yeah, did that on a school trip. That was a big night in Whanganui. Not only got taught by Pauline Whittaker how to get a phone call for free, but I also had my
Pineapple. Who's this Pauline Whittaker?
She was really nice, Pauline Whittaker.
Sounds like she was rotting the system.
She had no respect for authority.
Tess, do you know what it is when you say tapping the phone? Do you know what that means?
Yep.
Go ahead. No.
Is this an old phone thing?
Yeah, there's an old phone thing.
They had big red boxes
you're
and you went into
me
them.
Up there,
No, I didn't think you would. But
I've actually never used a phone box, ever.
No, don't ever use them too. They're a trick. They used to be able to, because they used to be dial as well. And they used to be in big red boxes, as David says. And then they used to be able to tap on the click hanger upper. What would you call that? The
receiver.
The receiver's the thing.
The click hanger upper.
And if you were dialing a 4 in the number, and you tap 6, you go ta 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 ta. And you tap 2 if it's an 8. Ta, 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 ta. And you'd be able to dial any number you wanted for free doing it that way.
And that way you didn't have to put in your actual literal 2 cents to get your call.
Yeah, save yourself 2 cents, made us all the wealthy people we are today. David Slack, there are wealthy people throughout this nation getting fat on the dividends of other people's hard work and then having a big cry about it. What's going on?
Exactly so. We're talking about the business confidence surveys, which it turns out aren't entirely as robust as they might be.
No!
Questions not quite as open to the full range of views as you might expect. In other words, do you hate this? Do you hate this? Do you hate this? But none of the above is not an option.
All the people that are invited to the last one are invited, but nobody that wasn't invited to the last one's invited.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird to see people saying we want to be consulted on this when what they really mean is we want to be consulted so we can tell you not to change anything at all.
Go back to how it was.
Yeah. And this is in particular, this is with particular reference to Business NZ saying that they don't like the look of labour law changes, and that's mostly to do with tea breaks. Do we think a tea break is okay in New Zealand? I think a tea break's not a bad idea. I think people deserve it.
I prefer calling it a tea break than a smoko, for a start. A break, well, there's nothing wrong with a break. That means you get back to work. I'm saying that from a truly objective point of view. I like having a break.
You're getting existential about it. Let's talk about the specifics of it.
Yep.
For example, there was a story yesterday about the people who work at Sistema, that's the success story plastics manufacturer in South Auckland. And if you look at there's a website that has gives you the chance to rate your employer, and there were very many entries for Sistema, which tends to say, great place to work, just don't like the long hours. Again and again, they look after us well, there's a nice culture, there's free meals, we love this, but 60 hours they're working, and
making little tough
often without breaks, the aforementioned breaks. Now, you can probably figure why this has happened. It's because if you want to be competitive with, say, China, you've got to be cranking it out at that kind of pace. But this is kind of emblematic of where we are. And that is, in order for companies to be profitable in New Zealand, they're depending on squeezing the last ounce of effort out of its employees rather than paying them very little. That was the other point about Sistema. They're not being paid much. They're not much more than minimum wage. And this is our large problem. And what lies behind what the small, medium enterprise owners will say when you take a microphone out and ask them, why are you so upset with this government? Why are you down on this? And they say, well, we're just not making any money. And that would be true. You know, too many of our enterprises depend on only being profitable if you pay your people bugger all.
But that's what they do in China.
Yeah. And we've got to get past that. If we want to have a decent kind of economy, we've got to be transforming. Well, surprise, surprise, that's actually what this government has in its sights and has campaigned on and has a work plan for, which is transformation. And easy to say, hard to do. But there is no better way to deal with it than to find ways to create new enterprises where there is better profit and where that profit can be better shared amongst your employees. Because here's another thing, and going back to Sistema, to use a real-world example to prove the point, that got sold for $600 million. Now, if it's worth $600 million, there's a bit of fat there that could be shared with the workers, arguably.
Somebody can see a future in it.
Exactly, that's right. And we've had about 30 years now of people looking at all of enterprise as an opportunity to make the most and do the least for the people who work with them. And also
that entitlement too of like, I got this business up and running, and no disrespect to people who did, but I got this business up and running, we're doing really well, we've got a place on the market. Why on earth should it stop? There should be no reason why we can't keep making the same money I made when I bought that second house and paid those people that much money. And what do you mean nobody wants landlines anymore? What do you mean?
That actually touches on another dimension of this that I think is really significant, and that is that you've had this model running for a long time now of banks only being prepared to lend money to businesses on your house, not on your business, because that's a bit too chancy. So the whole thing has been skewed back all the time to property investment, and that means that the whole business landscape is kind of tilted. Now, the reason this is interesting now is that you've got a whole change in the whole banking industry and a whole lot of online stuff happening now, where there is the real prospect that a new generation, say Tess's generation, is going to go into enterprise, and she won't have to go to an old-fashioned bank where you have to fill out 45 pages that say why you should be allowed to borrow this small amount of money from them, and by the way, we want a mortgage on your house if you want to do this for this enterprise, because business, we don't know about businesses. You have all of these Harmony, for example, and these kind of online and peer-to-peer things, which potentially means that Tess and 42 of her friends might get together and say, well, stuff this whole old style economy just doesn't work for me. We've got this good idea, and we're going to borrow some money, and we're going to see if we can make it work. I bloody hope that's where we're going, because that's a whole more propitious future.
Do you ever get that thing? Do you visit an actual branch of a bank very often?
Much, much less than I used to.
I find that every time that I do, and like I said, much, much less, hardly ever, I get like an email going, so how was that? Like every single time. Surely? How was it? So you used a branch and a human teller, and did they perform? And it's almost like they're just waiting to go, say that they were terrible. So you fire them. Say we can just have a break, just an ATM there.
That's right. Oh, and the banks aren't stupid. They know that they've now got
this. Oh, they're big money leeching, sucking vampires.
Well, they are, because it's the easiest thing in the world, safe as houses, as the old expression goes. You lend money on a house, and here's the really beautiful thing, you just lend pretend money. It's real money for you and me to owe them to pay back for having
borrowed
paid
the pretend money.
All of this money to buy the house. But from their point of view, it never actually existed. It's a beautiful swizz.
They're a success story, aren't they?
Yeah, but they own all of these bricks and mortar properties up and down the country, and they know that they see those other new generation enterprises I was just talking about, lenders that I was just talking about coming into the market, who don't have to pay rent, who don't have to maintain these buildings, and they see, if we could get rid of all of these buildings and incidentally the people who work inside them,
who take tea breaks,
and that is the other huge dimension to this whole debate, that automation and artificial intelligence and all of these things potentially mean that vast numbers of people get turfed out of work. And again, this government has this future of work tripartite thingy, I forget its proper title, that's exploring the ramifications of that. And by God, you want to explore that hard.
Definitely, because even you think now, it's like with all those bricks and mortar, you know, branches or, you know, like side branches or little information kiosks or whatever they've got, you know, for banks or for a whole bunch of different companies, it's the reason that they're doing it is because it's no longer about the bank. It's about the brand of the bank.
Yeah.
And it's the same, you know, it's even, I heard this, I was listening to Billy Corgan talking about that from the Smashing Pumpkins, and about how he's saying, like, as long as you're the brand, he's been quite blunt about, you know, how someone said, oh, you guys are still around. He goes, well, because, you know, as long as your brand is solid, it doesn't matter. You can put out a shit album and you can have a bit of a dud tour, but as long as your brand remains true, people are still just, we condition ourselves now to head to the brand before we judge them on the last time we dealt with them face to face or that ridiculous interest that they put on this, and, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking about that all through the 90s when ASB had that utterly risible Bernstein character and those ads that would have cost a fortune.
The robot came after that. There's a robot too.
Yeah, I think that came after. Yeah, Bernstein lost it. No, Goldstein, sorry, lost his job to a robot. anyway, I would watch that thing. Oh Christ, do I have to watch this again? But I stayed with them because they made a really good online
experience.
Facility.
Yeah.
Way better than the others, and that made all the difference in the world to me. So I stuck with them, even though they imagined that all of that branding was doing something for us. It was doing squat for me. I just liked that interface that worked.
Just to finish up, where do you see the government's steering this whole issue? Because like I said to Jacinda yesterday, it does seem like, oh, you know, business confidence is down. Oh, you don't get on with New Zealand First. It's like, if the media could spend a little more time delving into it and doing some proper sort of, well, is that really the case journalism, then, you know, otherwise we're just going to have to keep putting up with that, or they're going to have to keep putting up with that. You know, is there a way that they can sort of go, just shush, we'll show you if you give us some time? Or are they just not capable of doing that?
Oh, they're utterly capable of doing it. And in fact, they've...
See my balanced opinion come out there?
No, but if you look at all of the different initiatives they've got on the way, and all of the specific changes to legislation they're working at, it adds up to a hell of a lot. And I suspect that as things grind on, they'll have the chance to keep saying, well, yeah, but we're doing this, yeah, but we're doing this, yeah, but we're doing this. And the kind of business drum that's banging only has that one beat to offer, you know. Oh, we don't like it. Oh, we don't like it. Well, at a certain point, that's not going to be anything new. And I suspect that they can outlast the other by saying, well, here we've got this, well, here we've got this, well, here we've got this. But transformation is hard because you're, by definition, you're going into new uncharted waters, and things can go wrong, and things you can't say for certain what this is going to work. But the alternative is to stay being a low-wage, grinding economy that just tries to squeeze more and more out of people. And where's the future in that? There isn't.
Continually yelling out, but that's how they do it in China.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much, David.
Cheers, man.
But the country's awesome, though, still, eh?
Oh, it rocks. New Zealand.
A bit of political commentary.